Japanese media are reporting today one of the biggest players in the car industry has been arrested. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The chairman of Nissan, Mitsubishi Motors, as well as the chairman and CEO of Renault today, was accused of financial impropriety. This is Carlos Ghosn, who had been to cars what perhaps Bruce Springsteen is to rock and roll, more than a star, but a driving force. Nissan today termed Ghosn's alleged actions significant misconduct. Another member of the Nissan board has also been accused of wrongdoing. BBC international business correspondent Theo Leggett closely follows the global automotive industry.
It's discovered that over many years, both Mr. Ghosn and Mr. Kelly were reporting compensation amounts, pay, to the Tokyo Stock Exchange, which were less than the actual amount. Now, Mr. Ghosn picked up nearly $10 million for his responsibilities at Nissan last year. So heaven knows how much he was actually taking home, if these accusations are correct. But it does seem that this was a ploy to reduce the disclosed amount that Carlos Ghosn was being paid.
And there appears to be a whistleblower who may have gone to authorities with this information?
Well, that's what Nissan itself says, yes. And as a result of its investigation, Nissan now says that it wants to remove Mr. Ghosn from his positions both as the chairman of Nissan and as a director. And of course, all of this has major repercussions for the Renault-Nissan-Mitsubishi alliance, which is in fact, in its own right, one of the world's biggest car makers.
And certainly a market-moving story today. Not just Nissan shares traded in Tokyo, but Renault shares in Europe dragging down the entire market this morning.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen Renault shares down 12% this morning. The question has been asked for several years. What happens to this Renault-Nissan-Mitsubishi alliance when Mr. Ghosn steps down? Now, you know, he is the rock star of the automotive industry. How do you replace somebody like that? He has been stepping back a little, reducing his day-to-day workload, but he's still in overall control and was expected to be in overall control until 2022 at the earliest. So what happens now? And can this whole structure survive without Mr. Ghosn if, potentially, he has to step down, not just at Nissan, but from his roles in charge of the whole thing?
BBC's international business correspondent Theo Leggett, thank you very much.
Thank you.
By the way, because this is radio, Ghosn is G-H-O-S-N, silent H, silent S. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.5%, but Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down 0.3% each. The 10-year Treasury yield up slightly at 3.09%. Now to the economics of children at the U.S. border. A school district in the Phoenix area has been providing school instruction and other services at shelters set up for immigrant children who got to the U.S. without adults accompanying them. Now two of those shelters are closing, leaving the local school district wondering how it's going to handle the budget problem it now faces. From KJZZ in Phoenix, Matthew Casey reports.
Just be as creative and descriptive as you possibly can. So I want
Teacher Angela Patton gives a writing assignment to a combined class of 5th and 6th graders. She asks them to imagine finding a cave inside a tree and detail what's inside. Esperanza Prep is a public school for kids who may need extra help beyond the classroom.
It's more than just an education. It is a family setting. It's providing additional resources, you know, dental, medical, clothing.
The school is in the Maricopa County Regional School District, which has an agreement to teach undocumented immigrant kids living at facilities run by the nonprofit Southwest Key Programs. But the federal government has closed one Southwest Key shelter due to allegations of physical abuse by staff members. And a second shelter will close as part of a legal settlement with the state of Arizona after Southwest Key missed an oversight deadline.
We were responsible for a lot of kids in those Southwest Key facilities.
Steve Watson is the Maricopa District Superintendent. He expects the district will lose about $1.9 million of state money that was tied to teaching about 430 students in shelters. He says that money helps support the entire district.
Economies of scale, the more students we have, the more services we can provide to all students.
Layoffs have already started. In all, the district plans to cut about 30 administrative, teaching, and support staff positions. Teacher Angela Patton hopes she isn't one of them.
It is constantly on your mind because it's an unknown. And I think anyone would feel that way if they knew things were kind of up in the air.
Southwest Key says the federal government has final say on where children from its shelters will be sent. The federal government works with a network of more than 100 shelters in 17 states. In Phoenix, I'm Matthew Casey for Marketplace.
Not everyone gets a chance to study the economy in school. Anyway, who doesn't need a brush up? Marketplace helps you continue your education in a way that we hope is smart, accessible, and hopefully even a bit fun. Your donation is not only an investment in your own learning, but also in helping us make more people smart about the economy. And that, we think, is good for everyone. To learn how you can help, visit marketplace.org/investors. Thank you. Now, I tend not to use the term, but retailers, shoppers, and media keep calling the end of this week Black Friday. Now, this phrase just confuses me, so we assigned this etymology story to Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Here's the modern definition, courtesy of retail consultant Bert Flickinger.
Black Friday equals profitability. In the old accounting sheets, black ink recording profitable sales.
Most of the year, retailers are in the red with all their expenses, then go into the black after Thanksgiving when holiday shopping kicks in. But the day has an older history.
There were Black Fridays associated with Wall Street as a disaster.
First, a Friday in September 1869, when two financiers cornered the gold market and crashed the stock market. In the 1950s, HR managers called the day after Thanksgiving Black Friday because so many workers called in sick to get a four-day weekend. And today?
I vote for retiring the name, though I doubt anybody's going to be brave enough to actually do that.
Mark Cohen at Columbia Business School says holiday discounts now start in September, while big box and online retailers have strong sales year-round. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And for everyone who thinks this self-driving car business is overhyped and isn't happening until maybe our great-grandkids have their licenses, there's this news today. The Ford Motor Company will deliver Walmart groceries using robot cars starting in the next few months. The Miami area is the test market, where it doesn't snow, by the way, which can confuse human as well as robot drivers. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.